You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Rory DeLaghi with you on this edition, looking ahead to the action on Tuesday coming up. We're going to focus on two races at Chelmsford, but that's coming up shortly. First things first, Mr. DeLaghi, hello and how the devil are you?
I'm very well.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That wasn't convincing.
Well, you know, I've, a lot of people keep asking me about my health as if they know more about it than I do, but... to the best of my knowledge, I'm fine.
Good. And I think I'm right in saying, as we record this, you're sitting pretty at the top of the William Hill Naps table.
Yes.
I think you are.
Every time someone mentions that, I end up not being top of it shortly afterwards. So
it's been very competitive recently, hasn't it?
It has, yes. Yes.
Currently.
Unfortunately, I've for the second consecutive day, ended up with one that was much shorter than I expected it to be.
Mm.
And for the second consecutive day, I intended to switch it for something else and didn't quite get around to it in time.
9 people currently in profit on the Naps table.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad going at this stage of the season.
No.
If other seasons are anything to go by anyway.
But plenty of time for it all to go wrong.
Oh, completely. Yes.
I always say whenever you get a concerted period of warm, dry weather, then it's a lot easier to find the winners. But
true.
Never works for me.
No, we just need a shower and then everyone will start losing. Anyway. We're going to talk about the Monday jury, stolen shamelessly from the Racing Post, as always. And we start with, Rory DeLaghi, what did you make of the July Cup, won by US Navy flag?
I was delighted to see the result, to be honest, because it justified my opinion of US Army Ranger, US Navy flag even, as a horse who wasn't a one-mile classic prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always had him pegged as a sprinter. So it was quite nice to have that justified in the race itself. I wouldn't go mad about backing him in the future. This was the opportunity really for him on the day. He's got a very good record on quick ground at Newmarket, as he showed last season, doing the Middle Park and Dewhurst double, which is very, very rarely been done.
Yeah.
His biggest attribute in winning the Dewhurst was his early speed. He had that race wrapped up at halfway. Dewhurst horses are always deemed to be Guineas horses for the following year, but he was pretty exposed at that stage. He had a lot of racing before that, and he hasn't progressed again at a mile, but back at Newmarket, back at 6 furlongs, and with the opportunity of making the running, which has been an advantage there in the last week, he bounced back to grab a big prize. I wouldn't necessarily want to back him for the Nunthorpe, for example, on the back of that, or for the Sprint Cup at Haydock.
But the uphill finish really played to his strengths as well, didn't it?
The combination of the stiff finish over 6 furlongs there, and just the nature of the Newmarket track really suits him.
Yeah.
Being well positioned is always important at Newmarket, and everything worked out perfectly for him on the day.
Second question is, how highly do you rate Newmarket winners Advertise and Quarto?
I think it's always dangerous to overestimate the form of both the July Stakes and the Superlative. When it comes to the end of the season, they tend to be a fair way down the pecking order in the best group races run all year. You know, they run at the July meeting. There's an awful lot of people watching them, and they tend to give you something to look forward to for the rest of the year. Advertise was impressive. Clearly, a very good 2-year-old. The July Stakes should be a decent guide towards something like the Middle Park later on, and that's almost certainly where Advertise will be going. I wouldn't have him down as a 2000 Guineas candidate particularly at this stage, but you know, he's precocious, he's smart, and the Middle Park I would imagine would be on his agenda. Quarto on the other hand does look like a decent long-term prospect. I didn't think that the Superlative was as good as it has been. I didn't think it was a particularly strong renewal, and the horse that he beats had won essentially a novice race At Cork in his previous outing for Aidan O'Brien when getting weight from other horses. So it's not especially strong form, but Quarter was bred to progress with time and distance, being by Jubawi out of a filly who was placed in the Irish Oaks for Luca Kamani, and he will stay beyond a mile in time. So you can be a lot more positive about him in terms of his, you know, in terms of what they've achieved so far. Advertise is the better of the two. But Quarto at least has the prospect of actually improving big chunks for stepping up and trip later this season and maybe into next year as well.
Okay, and on the juvenile filly side, what did you make of Goddess and Pretty Pollyanna?
Goddess was visually very impressive, but it was only a maiden race. She won by 10 lengths, it has to be said. And she's very well bred. She's out of Cherry Hinton, who didn't win herself, but is beautifully bred. It's slightly odd that she didn't win because she's a sibling of some extremely good horses, including See the Stars. And she's produced several smart performers already. So Goddess looks in that mould. She won as she pleased, but she put up a pretty ordinary time. I know the way the race was run wouldn't have produced a smart time, but it made her look better than she is. It's hard to tell how good she is. She's clearly smart, potentially. But in terms of the two performances, there's no doubt that Pretty Pollyanna's win at Newmarket was much better in terms of merit. And I notice in the jury results, everyone mentions the interference that was suffered in behind the winner. She'd have absolutely battered them anyway.
I think the only thing that the interference
affected the placings
was the placings.
Yes.
In terms of the Godolphin horse would have probably finished third or second.
Yeah, and Frankie in causing the interference has probably hurt himself by a length as well.
Yeah,
but she'd have run a 5 or 6 length winner minimum.
Yeah.
Off a race that looked incredibly tight on paper. She's improved a lot. It may well be that, you know, again, very fast ground and Newmarket have played to her strengths, but that was a very good performance and a very good performance on the clock as well. Not just the distances, whereas Goddess won by 10 lengths, but in a maiden and in a moderate time. So she needs to prove she can do it in pattern company, which she probably will, in fairness, given where she comes from.
Yeah.
But Pretty Pollyanna probably has been done down a little bit in terms of what she achieved. That was the best performance by a filly this year by a fair way, better than anything we saw at Royal Ascot. So she needs the credit that she hasn't entirely got.
Okay. Next question. How do you rate the St. Ledger prospects of Wells Fargo at this stage?
It was nice to see him get back on track.
Because there's almost two schools of thought with his performance at the weekend. Was it a high-class staying performance, or did he just sort of nick it?
He nicked it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in fairness, when he was joined, he found plenty again. Mm. So, you know, he clearly stays well. It's worth pointing out that the Bahrain Trophy and the St. Ledger are not similar stamina tests. The St. Ledger is much more of a test of stamina than the Newmarket. But, you know, he promises to stay. He's not guaranteed to stay, but he does promise to stay. And the fact that he could do that on quick grounds, well, it wasn't like a road at Newmarket. They did water a fair bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was quicker ground than a lot of people thought he wanted. If it turned up softer at Doncaster, that would also benefit him. He looked, you know, he's quite a big, heavy topped horse, and I think he'd benefit from cutting the ground. Whether he'd want, you know, a near 2 mile trip and cutting the ground is something that we need to see. But it's nice to have a Yorkshire candidate for the St. Ledger. Tim Easterby's won it before, but it was quite a long time ago. And it'd be nice for him to go in there with a big chance. But he
deserves a crack at it.
He definitely deserves a crack at it. The notion that somehow he's put out a big marker is a little wide of the mark. But, you know, that it's a trial race for very good reason. He passed his trial well. And they'll be, you know, they'll have the confidence that if no one wants to make it at Doncaster, they can go on as well. Mm. David Allen deserves a lot of credit for his ride. I thought, you know, he got the horse rolling really nicely. Settled him in mid-race where they closed up on him, but was able to, you know, nick another couple of lengths advantage. And then when they came to him, he'd conserved his energy better than most of his rivals. So he's probably not quite as good as the Bear Result, particularly over the second. But he's, you know, he's always promised to be a high-class horse, and it's nice to see him back on track.
He's 10-1 currently for the William Hill St. Ledger. Kew Gardens 3-1 favourite for that. 8-1 La Trobe. DXB 9s. Wells Fargo 10s, 14s, and bigger the rest. Kew Gardens 3-1 favourite for the Ledger. One of the questions in the Monday jury is that Kew Gardens is now in the frame for the King George. Now, the question is, it says, are you a fan? I assume that is about the horse going for the King George, to which I would say no.
I think the question is about Kew Gardens, because not everyone was convinced by him. Mm. Earlier in the season, he's turned it round in his last couple of starts. You know,
Does he have the class to win a King George?
Well, I don't think so, is the answer to that. He's improved a bit to win the Grand Prix de Paris. And it's worth mentioning that the Grand Prix de Paris is now effectively the French Derby. Since they've cut the French Derby back to a mile and a quarter. Mm. The Grand Prix de Paris used to be a mile and seven in the old days. It's now a mile and a half. So it's more of a derby than the Prix de Jockey Club. And that was a career best performance in winning that. And he was very game in holding on by a little over a length there, and showed his fighting qualities, which he also did when winning the Queen's Vase. We hadn't really seen that prior to Ascot. That's two races now, but he's backed that up, and he's looked very tough. He doesn't look good enough for King George, though, unless there is a possibility the race falls apart a little bit. I mean, Cracksman's in there, but I think there has to be a fair chance that we don't see Cracksman in the King George, given how he shaped at Ascot last time out.
I think John Gosden said that his mind was on the job on the gallops the other day.
Okay, so
which makes a change from what we've seen recently.
Yeah, well, in fairness, that's the thing. He doesn't look to have been comfortable with what he's been doing in recent starts. Now, whether that's a physical issue, or whether he's just getting a roving eye at this stage is another matter. But you can't really geld him. No. That would be a little bit against the grain. There's a bit of a question over him. Clearly his best form makes him a standout. And Kew Gardens has got at least a stone to find with him, maybe a little bit more. Even if Craftsman doesn't show up, Crystal Ocean's looked a really, really good prospect for this. And despite the fact that he'd be giving a fair bit of weight away to the three-year-olds, I don't think any of them, including Kew Gardens, have shown enough to beat him.
Okay. And finally, what chance would you give someone mile winner beat the bank in the Sussex?
My initial reaction to that is very little, and then you look at the Sussex and go, what an awful race this is.
Yeah,
it doesn't, you know, it's the same horses contesting. We've had a few years now where we've seen absolutely exceptional horses, and every now and again you get a year where everything's much of a muchness in every division, and that's what it is in the moment, really.
I thought he won really well, beat the bank, but it's a whole new look who he's beating. Kettle of fish, exactly. Yeah. And he's already shown before that he's not quite top class.
Yeah, but in fairness, you might not need to be quite top class to win the Sussex this year. It doesn't look an especially strong contest. And with the exception of the Antipost favourite, I think it's one of those that anything could win if they get the run of things. And he is, of course, a distance winner, which is important. The fact that he handles Goodwood is a positive. Again, if we had the weather we had for Goodwood last year, that would help him as well. He handles very soft ground.
He clearly handles
quick ground, as he showed at Ascot. 8-1's a fair price, actually. Mm. What price is the favourite?
Without parole, 6-4.
Yeah, I mean, Without parole is a bit of a standout. But, you know, as a three-year-old, an unbeaten three-year-old coming through who's only had one run in decent pattern company, but was very impressive at Ascot Without Parole. If he continues that vein of form, he's going to be extremely hard to beat getting weight.
And of course, Glorious Goodwood coming up at the end of the month. Gets underway on the 31st of July. The Sussex that we were just talking about coming up on the 1st of August. Right, let's focus on tomorrow's racing, Rory. Two at Chelmsford to come. The 450, the first one that we're going to talk about, a handicap over a mile, just the seven runners here. And a fair mix, you'd say, despite the fact there's only the seven of them.
Yeah, it's a competitive enough race. Three of them actually met over course and distance 10 days ago in a race in which Book of Dreams won. Gloria Waits finished third, beating a length and a half. Sir Hamilton was right behind him, and Executive Force was 8th of 13. If I wanted to go for a dark one in here, Executive Force would be the horse. You're getting the idea that I might be going for something else entirely.
Yes.
Executive Force was only 8th in that, and clearly will be the outsider of the party, I would have thought. But he's been shipping up quite well. He was with William Haggis last season. He's had 5 runs now for Michael Wiggum, who's a shrewd trainer, and he's never been competitive. But he's always been held up. He was held up after a slow start last time. And for the second or third start in the row, he's just caught the eye a little bit, you know, travelling perfectly well towards the back of the field and not being beaten up in pursuit of the others. So he appears to be building up to something, and he's dropped another couple of pounds in the weights. And I think Executive Force, you know, if someone prices him up at double-figure odds for this, if he's 10-1 or bigger, I'd be inclined to throw a few bob at him.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know what the prices are going to be for this.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw out the likeliest winner in the race, and that's Faster.
Okay.
Who comes here having caught the eye twice this season. He ran well on soft ground at Sandown in May. And then his next start, which came almost 5 weeks later, was in the Seton de Laval handicap to Newcastle. One of the, used to be one of the big handicaps of the season, still is at Newcastle. Very competitive affair. It was a bit of a messy race this time around. They didn't go terribly fast. And then they all quickened from about two furlongs from home. Fastar was the one who looked the likeliest winner with a bit of furlong to go. Humbert made most of the running, or disputed the lead most of the way, and rallied to win. Fastar moved up to get alongside Humbert with a furlong to go and looked the likeliest winner, but then just ran out of petrol late on. And that was his first run, obviously, for a few weeks. Maybe just needed. We know he stays a mile perfectly well. And he runs in a much lesser race here. This is a not to 90. He's the top weight. And the Seton de Laval's a not to 105, and a very competitive race if it's great. So running off the same mark here against horses who've been, you know, beating each other, I thought he had outstanding claims. But again, I'll just mention when the prices do come out,
yes,
if there's fancy odds available about Executive Force, he might be worth having a saver on.
Okay. The 5:20 is the final race on the Chelmsford cards on Tuesday, and it's not the strongest contest. Everything bar three come here off the back of a pretty poor run last time out, if truth be told.
Yes.
But we're going to start with True North for Matt Prescott and Ryan Tate. Ran not too long ago over five furlongs at Suddle. Is now over a mile and two at Chelmsford, and everything that we've seen from True North so far suggests that this is much more his cup of tea.
Yeah, let's boil this race down quickly. You've got a couple at the top of the weights who are disappointing, and seemingly going the wrong way. A couple at the bottom of the weights are just no good at all, with apologies to Clone Rocket. Clone Rocket would have a terrific chance on two-year-old form, but has gone the wrong way for a long time since, has changed yards, and the new yard hasn't had a winner this season. So that's rather off-putting. And then you have two in the middle, Plenty in the Tank, Sir, and True North, who've both come off very solid runs. True North second to One Foot in Paradise at Wolverhampton last time. One Foot in Paradise also runs on this card, so there might be pointers there. I think runs a bit earlier in the card. So I can see One Foot in Paradise actually getting beaten, which might get you a slightly better price about True North. And you've also got Plenty in the Tank, Sir, who was a winner over a mile here last time off a mark of 60. Only £4 higher. That was his first form, but he improved for a second crack at that trip. Both of them are bred to be better over further still. Plenty in the Tank, Sir, is by Le Roi des Animaux out of an Hernando mare, and will therefore improve a step up to mile and a quarter, and indeed shaped that way when winning here last time out. Stayed on strongly late in the day to get up essentially on the line. Whereas True North, he's running over seven furlongs and showing improved form and handicaps. Again, his pedigree suggests he needs at least a mile and a half.
Mm.
So I'm expecting a big chunk of improvement from True North, and he gets the vote here. Over the two, Jamie Spencer riding Plenty in the Tank, Sir. Will Jamie give him too much to do? That's the question. And will they go a decent pace here? Well, the pace will be dictated probably by True North.
Yeah.
Based on what he's done recently, although it's possible that Lifeboat, he made the running last time out, will do the same again. And True North has been ridden positively his last two starts, so were shorter. Maybe they'll ride him a bit more patiently up and trip. But
cheek pieces on for the first time.
Yeah, but he wore a visor last time, and yeah. I think he just needs slightly, given they're stepping up and trip, I can see why you move from severe headgear to slightly less severe headgear. So
yeah.
I don't like cheek pieces as a rule, but I'll count that as a marginal positive because it goes hand in hand with the step up and trip. So I think he'll improve. I think he'll be ridden positively, which is always beneficial around here, and hopefully he can get first run on Plenty in the Tank, Sir, who's the I wouldn't want to say the only danger, because Tillsworth Lookie would have chances based on in all his runs, all his last four or five runs, until he threw in a stinker last time out. He'll probably bounce back, and you know, if you fancy a forecast in the race, he might just get amongst the two market leaders, but it fundamentally looks a match.
Okay. Lovely stuff, Mr. DeLaggy.
My pleasure.
I'm just watching a mascot race. Can you see it on your screen?
No, sadly not. It's not on.
Done. Well, it's very,
mascot race.
Very entertaining.
Anyone fallen over yet? Niall
yes.
Hannity did a very, very good commentary on a...
I did see that. On a
pantomime horse race.
Yes, and one of them veered off.
Where he managed to get the phrase suffering succotash into the commentary, which no other commentator has done in living memory.
No, that is true. And unfortunately, the mascot race has now disappeared off my TV and been replaced with some boring greyhound racing.
So very dull.
What are you going to do? Anyway, thanks for tuning into the William Hill Racing Podcast. We'll be back again tomorrow.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.